And everyone said, amen.
Amen. All right, I was thinking last night about how we relate to people in the world around us, in our world. And how do we even know? How do most people know what to talk about? I mean, what do we feel is relevant when we speak to other people? Most likely what we talk about is what we've heard, you know, from some other source. Maybe we watched something, maybe we read something, maybe we saw or heard something. And somehow a report came to us. You know, maybe it was the nightly news reporting, and this report came to us about something that was going on. And if we watch the news, we're going to hear an awful lot of bad stuff that's happening in our world. I'm sure you've noticed that. In fact, just about anywhere we find out what's happening in our world, we're likely to hear about bad stuff, bad things happening. Disaster and tragedy sells. Heartbreak sells. Those are the kind of things that bring up the ratings. But if we're Christians, we have had an encounter with the most wonderful, most loving, most forgiving, most awesome being in all of creation, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this encounter has changed our lives dramatically, and not just for right now, but for all eternity. And if that's the case, the message that we share around us, in the world around us, to all the people, to those that we meet, to our world, it should be totally different than the message that we might hear from anywhere else. We should be bringing a good report wherever we go. Each one of us, whether we realize it or not, are spokespersons for God. Every day, everywhere, in everything we do, we represent God. You know, we say represent. Think about that. That means that we represent God. We present God to somebody, and then we represent Him in our own life as we speak about Him again. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that God has prepared certain things in advance for us to do. Sometimes it seems like somebody almost falls on our lap that wants to know about Jesus. That happens. Somebody sits down next to us, and they just start talking to us, or they just open up, and they start telling us about something that's gone wrong in their day. Those are opportunities, what some people might call a divine encounter or something like that. And if we are living our life as a Christian, people are going to pick up on that. It's like the old Police song, if you remember the group The Police, every breath you take, every move you make, they'll be watching you. Some will admire you. Some will criticize you, and some will even condemn you, maybe despise you because you're a Christian. But if we continue to bring a good report to wherever we go, to whomever we talk to, the chances are that one day those people that are around us are going to recognize that they have a need, and they're going to understand just mentally, but even more spiritually, as the Holy Spirit touches them or convicts them, that this need can be addressed or spoken to or taken care of by talking to us, that we can show them and help them understand that there's an answer to their needs. So we can share with them the most valuable gift that they could ever receive, and that's the promise of God, which is our salvation. There's a story that I'm sure many of you have heard that illustrates the point that I'm talking about bringing this good report. And I just want to just briefly go over a few little parts of it here. It's in Numbers, and it's in chapter 13, starting in verse 13, and it says, or actually, no, starting in verse 1, excuse me. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. So here Moses sends out these people to check out the promised land. They're going out there to find out what's going on, just like supposedly our news reporters of today, our TV investigators, the news investigators, the journalists and things like that. They're supposed to go out and find out what's going on and then bring us back the report of what's happening. Well, in Numbers chapter 13 still, but down now in verse 26, we get to hear the report about this exploration. These guys, these 12 men went out. They checked out the land that God had told them was theirs, that God had told them to take, that God had told them he would give to them, that it was going to be theirs, their inheritance. And so they decided, you know, they want to go check it out. And so here's the report of the exploration. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. And it was very fruitful. It was bountiful. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land in which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. And we even saw the descendants of Anak there." These are giants. "The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan." Then Caleb sentenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of it, of the land, for we can do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people." He's looking at, you know what, Caleb, like, "You're crazy. We can't attack these people. They're giants. They're bigger than us. They're fortified cities and weapons and all this kind of stuff. Are you crazy?" is what he's saying to them. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those who are living in it. It's going to swallow us up. All the people we saw were of great size. There were giants living in the land in those days. There are fossils of men and women way bigger than us, 2-3 times bigger than us, that lived on this earth that we have skeletons of. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. And we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them." So they're bringing back a report. Caleb tried to throw something in there and they shut him right down. And all they could see was the bad. God had already told them this was going to be their land. He had already promised them that it would be their land, that he was going to go there and they were going to with them and they were going to conquer the land, take it over. It would be theirs. And yet when they looked at it, all they saw was trouble, danger, and they were afraid. And so what did they do? They bring back this negative, bad report. They spread among the Israelites a bad report. So how did the people respond to this bad report? That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "Oh, if only we died in Egypt. Oh, or in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives, however they say that. Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Yeah, let's just forget about all the miracles we've seen. Let's forget about God's promise. And how did they get to that point? How did all these people, this whole community, get to that point? 10 men brought back a bad report. They destroyed the hope of a nation, the faith of a nation, the trust of a nation. So all these people decided to listen to that bad report, ended up in fear and rebellion and unbelief. And in fact, if you know the whole story, eventually that generation of people died in their unbelief and never made it to the promised land. But then something else happened. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he'll give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of this land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us, so do not be afraid of them. Now, they turned the tide. They didn't go in and do what they were supposed to do, but they at least stopped them from appointing new leaders and running back to Egypt. So they didn't totally give up, but because it was 2 to 10, they weren't really able to totally convince the whole group. But this is the kind of stuff that goes on today. It still goes on right now today. We are bombarded with bad reports all around us. The world we live in is a hopeless mess. It is. There's problems everywhere. We're ready to go off this financial cliff after the first of the year. You know, everything's falling apart. The morals are being shot. And the families are breaking up, and this is happening, that's happening. All kinds of bad stuff. If you read all the reports, we're doomed. We're doomed. We may as well give up now. Let's go back to Egypt. Join the Muslim Brotherhood. Let's go to Iran and get nuked. It's all over. It's done. Because that's what the bad reports will tell us. It's too late. But now we find out that there is a Savior who will rescue us, and a God who has a plan for this world that will eventually come together at just the right time. So here's the deal. Every one of us, every day in our dealings with people, are bringing a report. The news is bringing a report, but we bring a report. And so we have to ask ourselves, what kind of report are we bringing? Are we bringing a good report? Or are we bringing a bad report? I remember when I was a kid. Didn't you hate bringing home a bad report card? Did a lot of you guys try to hide them? Did you ever change the letters on there? You know how many D's turned into B's for me? I found ways. It was tough. You know, I did real good up until about 7th grade. I was almost a straight-A student, 6th, 7th grade, somewhere in there. And then I started goofing off all the time. And I started getting a lot of D's. It wasn't until I left the school I was in, and I was at Cabrini, in fact. I was in a private school, and then I went to Allen Park, and even though I didn't do any more, all of a sudden I started getting A's again. Different kind of environment. They were all over me at Cabrini. They had my number. It was an unknown factor when I went to a new school, just sort of blended in with the crowd. But I didn't want to bring home a bad report. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want to ruin my summer if it was like the last report card of the season, get grounded for the whole summer, because that happened to me. So we want to make sure that we bring a good report. Through our words, through our actions, through our lifestyle, we are proclaiming loud and clear to those who are around us, whether it is good or whether it is bad to be a Christian, to live by God's word. We're proclaiming either a good or a bad report about whether Christianity has the answers that they're seeking, or should they turn to the world? I mean, if we're a Christian and all we ever give is a bad report, why should they listen to God's word? Why should they listen to us? We've all heard the terms frozen chosen, holy rollers, right-wing fundamentalists, religious fanatics, hypocrites. Those are the reports that go out to the world daily about who we are. The world tries to portray the life of a Christian as narrow-minded. We cling to our guns and Bibles. Hey. All right. We're boring, we're dull, we're deprived, we're wimpy, frumpy, foolish. And anything else negative they can think of. They want to bring a bad report about us. We don't need to accept that. We know it's a false report, but you know what? It goes out every day through the media and even through some people who call themselves Christians. That's what we're up against. We're up against TV, movies, college professors that hate Christians and Christianity, radio, magazines, a continual onslaught of anti-Christian bigotry. Christians are the most despised group by the elite in our country. We are the one that it's still free, open season on Christians. Everybody else gets beat up, murdered, bombed, lawsuits, but, you know, go after Christians. It's okay. That's why we have to stand up and speak out and bring a good report. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." You see, a lot of people in this world are hopeless. Their situation is hopeless. They feel hopeless. They're depressed. And we have hope. We have a hope, in fact, that does not fail or disappoint. Our hope is certain in Christ. With us, hope is a totally different thing. Hope of the world is like hoping that they win the lottery. Our hope is in our salvation in Jesus Christ. That's a certainty. It's a different thing. Ours is just a faithful expectation. That worldly hope is wishful thinking. Big, big difference. And so when we share, as this says, we can give an answer to everyone who asks, "Hey, how come you're always so happy? What's going on with you? How's your day been going? How come things seem to go better for you? How did you afford to do this? How come you got that job? How come this happened? Why? People are asking us all the time. We don't even recognize it. But when they come and they ask us all these different questions, they're asking us to give them a reason for the hope that lies within us, for the good things that are happening in our life. And so we're supposed to be prepared to give an answer for the hope we have. So we should have some things that we can share so that we can bring a good report about not just the fact, oh yeah, I got hired, but no. Man, I prayed, our church prayed, God really blessed me, and I got a great job. Whole big difference. Oh yeah, I applied and got the job. Or, no, God really has been faithful to me. You know, you should hear what's happened in my life. Now we're bringing a good report. We need to let God speak through us as we are led by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is speaking through us, we will see an immediate effect on someone that we're talking to. It hits the mark. It hits them right in the heart. If God is directing you to speak to someone, and the Holy Spirit is moving through you, and you're sensitive to the Spirit, and the words you say, they're going to hit like a ton of bricks for the good. For the good. That's going to be that good report. Even though it may bring conviction, it's still a good report, because that conviction can lead to repentance. And all we have to speak is what we already know to be true. We don't have to make things up. We don't have to try to remember the story. We just have to speak out the truth. We can share God's word, and we can also share how we've seen God's word working in and changing our lives. God doesn't want us to be carbon copy or Xerox Christians. We're not all the same. We're all different. Every one of us are individuals, and every one of us has been individually touched and individually changed by God. And as we're growing in Christ, and even as we're growing together as the body of Christ, we're still growing as individuals, because each one of us reflects different aspects of the glory of God. So we all have our own unique witness to other people. We don't want to all have, like, here's your pamphlet, and every single one of us says the exact same thing to everyone we meet. It wouldn't be bad to have a little pamphlet, but we all have a story to tell. A story of truth, a story about our God, a good report, something that we can share. And nobody can deny our personal testimony. They might say they don't believe the Bible, but what are they going to stand right there and say, I don't believe you? That didn't happen to you. I mean, most likely, people will hear us and take it in. And when people see the passion in us, when they see the conviction and the truth of God in our life, it's very convincing. Very convincing. And when we get excited about God and about what He's doing in our life, that excitement is contagious. We need to remember that even though we are witnesses for God, and we all have our own individual testimony, we need to make sure that we convey the message of God, the truth behind us, the truth that's set us free. We need to bring that truth out accurately and with integrity. The true witness doesn't make up the message. We share our life. We share what God's done for us. But what is it about God? What is it? It's the faith in Jesus Christ. It's those things, that the truth that we bring forward. So we don't make up the message any more than the telephone, our cell phone, speaks to our friends. We speak through the phone. The cell phone is just the middle player. And that's sort of how we are. We're like ambassadors. We're the middle player for God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We're iPhones. We're smartphones. I don't have a smartphone. My wife has a smartphone. I got a dumb phone. Mine's ancient. They discovered it in one of the tombs in Egypt. But it still works, and the battery was still charged. You know, I've had this phone for about 7 years, and I still have the original battery. Can you believe that? It is taped together. It's been taped, it's been glued, but you know what? It still dials people, and I still get the phone calls, it takes messages, it still works. But don't text me, I don't get texts. Some people send me, I texted you. Well, I don't get texts, so. As an ambassador for Christ, let's get back on track here. Who, you know, remember, God is speaking through us now. We're his ambassadors. As an ambassador, there are certain things that we can't do and certain things we can do. Just a few things we can do. One thing is that we are not the originator of the message. God is. We're his ambassador, his spokesman, as though he were making his appeal or speaking through us. So we don't originate the message. God does through us, and we speak it. We don't bring the message to seek our own glory. We bring the message to bring glory to God. As an ambassador, we can't think lightly of our mission. We can't take it flippantly. We can't, you know, be so casual about what God tells us to do that we take it or leave it kind of a thing. And we are not to depart from the original instructions, neither add to or take away. Those are the can'ts, the things that, as an ambassador, a spokesman for God, those are the things that we can or shouldn't do. But here's what we should be doing. Here's what we must do as an ambassador, a spokesman that wants to bring the good report. We are to go where we are sent. An ambassador is sent. We send ambassadors to all kinds of different countries. We must communicate the mind of the sender. Think about our country. The idea is to communicate to those people what our country thinks, what we want. We must defend the honor of those who sent us. We can't go there and say, yeah, you know, they want me to tell you this, but they're jerks, man. I don't care what they want. Me and you, we'll work out a deal. How's that go? You know, you give me some money, you know, that kind of thing. That kind of stuff sometimes goes on in our world, I think, doesn't it? People bad talk. But we don't do that to God. We're his ambassador. We treat him with honor and dignity, respect. We must always be concerned for the welfare of the kingdom. If we're talking about the United States again, if we were going to be an ambassador over at another country, we want to make sure that everything we do or say is somehow going to be good for the long-term welfare of our country. And as a spokesman for God, everything that we say and do to other people, bring to them, should always be about building the kingdom of God, seeking first his kingdom, remember? So we're concerned for the welfare of the kingdom. We must make the master's business preeminent. So when we're out there and we're supposed to be bringing this good report as an ambassador for God, and then we find ourselves in a situation where God wants to use us, but we decide, well, you know what? I'm a little tired now, or I'm hungry. I think I'll go over there. That person can wait. Maybe I'll see him later, or maybe I won't. You know, I'll do what I want, and then if I get a chance again, maybe I'll talk to them. That's not, no, now is the time. Today is the day. When God wants to use us, that's when we do it. Make his business preeminent. We must also make ourselves qualified for the task. We need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to be prepared in season and out of season. We must have a ready answer, as I said later, to be able to explain to people the hope that lies within us. There's all kinds of scriptures that talk about that, that we're actually supposed to have some ideas, some thoughts ready, some kind of information ready that we can share, and then the Holy Spirit can use that knowledge and anoint it and bring it out. And he reminds us of everything that Christ said to us through his word. He'll teach us. So we need to make sure that as an ambassador, we're qualified for the task. If we're an ambassador and we've never picked up the Bible, we're not really very qualified. If we're an ambassador and we don't go to church or we don't, you know, learn about God, we're not very qualified. If we never talk to God, we're not very qualified. So if we want to bring that good report as an ambassador, we've got to make sure we're qualified for the task. And the last thing I have here is we must do the work in the best possible way. Always be thinking, how can I do this the best? You know, I mean, the scripture is a scripture that says that we're supposed to be shrewd as vipers but harmless as doves. Sometimes we got to think a little bit and think, like, all right, how can I get in there and bring that message? How can I get into that situation? How can I work my way in? How can I talk to that person? Have you ever seen this movie before? You're going to stand out in front of a movie theater. You know, whatever. I was just wondering, I haven't seen it. I was thinking about seeing it. Next thing you know, you're talking about other stuff. Before you know it, you're talking about God. So, one way or another, the idea is that we want to be able to be that ambassador and bring a good report. So what is the basic message that we bring as an ambassador for Christ? Well, I've wrote down just a few things that I would consider the basic message, and I'm sure I missed some things, and you could add to it. But I figure these are some of the basics that, you know, a good report. This is the kind of things that hopefully over time we'll be able to share with people. God loves mankind. God loves us. He loves his people. Man is hopelessly lost in sin and needs a Savior. We're a mess. Things are falling apart. Everything seems to be falling apart. I mean, there's so many ways we can say it. You know, without a Savior, we are destined to suffer eternal death in hell. Hell is real. Do you believe in hell? You know, I mean, you could come up with all kinds of ways, you know. I know I don't want to go there. I don't, you know, even if there's a chance hell is true, I sure don't want to go there. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could say that to get people to start thinking. God proved his love by sending his Son to pay for our sins through death on the cross. Oh, you know who Jesus is? You know, you've seen a cross, right? People wear them. You could talk about so many different ways to get that message across. Start the ball rolling. He invites us to believe in his Son and receive him as our Savior. There is somebody that cares about us that can rescue us. Yeah, I know your life seems hopeless now. You feel like everything's falling apart. But you know, there's somebody that can help you. Through Christ, our sins are forgiven. We can be forgiven. We can stand before God, holy, righteous, blameless, pure, spotless, because our righteousness is in Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. And the last thing I have is that God has prepared a place for us to be with him for all eternity in heaven. we got a great future to look forward to. That's a good report. And all these, every one of those little items, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I said 7 things, you know, and I didn't even realize it, but 7's the number of perfection, so I guess this is the perfect list, right? But, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm sure there's some things you could add to that, but I was trying to just sort of bring it down to the essentials. And we try to get these in the conversation we have with people. That's the message that we as ambassadors want to spread. That's the good report that we want to bring. God loves people. We're lost. We need a Savior. Jesus died for us. We can believe in Him as our Savior. Our sins are forgiven, and we can go to heaven. It's not a whole lot, but it's more than enough. And that's a good report. That's a real good report. So, as an ambassador, we have to convey this message with the right attitude, too. You know, that's really important. You know, you get these people that are sometimes driving you crazy because they have standard lines that they say, or maybe they're literally trying to beat you over the head with the Bible, as we said, or, you know, or they're yelling, screaming, God hates, you know, whatever, the current thing and stuff like that. I mean, that's not going to get anybody saved. They're not bringing a good report then. We're bringing condemnation. These are different ones I pulled right out of the Bible. The kind of attitude we should have, it says, as an ambassador, we should go to those people with gentleness and respect, with courtesy, with earnestness and sincerity, with zealous pleading at the proper time and led by the Holy Spirit. Those are just a few little guidelines about the attitude that we should have as a spokesman for Christ as we bring the good report to others. As an ambassador, we need to live to please God. And it's not only what we say, it's who we are. It's who we are in Christ. A good diagnosis from a doctor and the cure, that's the best witness to a good doctor, isn't it? A good movie is a good witness to a good director. A good painting or a sculpture is a great witness to a good artist. Well, a life that shows the character of Christ is the best witness of a good Christian. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, I'm going to read a little bit here. It says, "For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake." See, he's talking about how the actions, not just the words, but you know how we lived among you. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, because they remember Paul used to say, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." "In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy, the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all other believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell you how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." Their joyful reception of the gospel had everybody looking at the Thessalonians. It didn't just leak out, it says it rang out. Their testimony, their lives were like trumpets blaring a message, you know, and announcing the king, sending forth the message of the king, because people could see it so obvious in their lives. their life was bringing a good report to everyone around them. These ambassadors for Christ were, they were in a busy seaport in the capital of Macedonia, a major trading center. And it was a central location that God used to send out the wire, send out the report. And God also puts us in just the right place. He's put every one of us in unique situations in our homes, our works, our neighborhoods, our family, our friends. We're all spread all over the place. We don't all live in one home and only talk to each other. We all have our own sphere of influence. And just like Paul was talking about the Thessalonians there, about how it rang out their lives, their testimony, the way they lived. Now God's put us in a place so we can ring out. So our lives can be a testimony, so our lives can bring a good report. If we have no report of God's character in our life, then something's wrong. We're living a life of emptiness, depression, and I think it was Thoreau, maybe, who said, lives of quiet desperation. That statement always got to me whenever I heard it. Who wants to live a life of quiet desperation? Anybody? Anybody got quiet desperation? Anyone? Going once? Going twice? Quiet desperation. I'm desperate, but I can't even speak it out. I don't even know who to go to. I don't know how to share it. I don't know where my help can come from. I'm desperate, but I don't know where to turn. There's so many people like that in our world, and they need to hear the good report so they can say, wait a minute, there's an answer to my desperation. There's an answer to my hopelessness. I remember when Carol and I were seeking Christ, we actually were looking to find God for a year, over a year. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to turn. And we tried all kinds of things, and nobody ever told us about getting saved. I grew up in a church that never told me about salvation or being born again. I had friends that were, you know, had gone to all kinds of different churches. None of them ever mentioned me anything about salvation. I started getting all kinds of weird books, trying to figure out, you know. Everybody kept talking about this guy, Jesus. And so we finally figured out, well, let's go get a Bible, because that's his book. You know? Then we started reading it. You know, I got an old King James and started reading it from the very beginning. That didn't make any sense. And finally we ended up with a group of people, a bunch of charismatic Christians, way back in the mid-70s. And for the first time, I understood what it meant to have a relationship with God. And it took over a year to figure that out, because nobody was bringing me a good report. The loudest and the clearest and most eloquent testimony of the gospel is a testimony of a Christian who has the joy of the Lord and a life of abundance, and he lets it flow out of his mouth. Just likes to share about how God has blessed him. And you can see the joy on that person's face. You can see the life. Because we're drawn to people like that. In that group that I just talked about, there was a guy by the name of Butch. His real name was Jim. And he was that kind of a guy. I instantly became best friends with him. We started running together and hanging out together. And, you know, he was attractive to me in the sense that I could see God in him. And everybody in the group liked Butch. Why did they like him? Because Butch loved God. And you could see it all over his face. You could see all over his life. He was an ambassador for Christ. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of the brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." The fight is fixed. The story is already written. It's already been published. And the truth is in the end, we really do win. We may have to go through some stuff. Jesus told us we're going to go through problems. But he also promised he'll be with us until the end. And in the end, we win. The victory is already ours. It's already been declared in the heavens. It's been declared by God in his word, and God does not lie. He cannot lie. He does not lie. And his word is true yesterday, today, and forever. And he said that we are overcomers. So how do we overcome? It says right there in that scripture I just read, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. These two things are tied up together. Without the blood, which brings forgiveness of sin, there would be no testimony. There'd be nothing to talk about. But there was the blood. Jesus finished his job. He went to the cross. He said, "It is finished." It was done. The work that is still going on is our testimony. That keeps going. The good report, the message of the cross that we have been called on to share with other people. That's our job. That's our calling. That's our commission. This is what we do. Every one of us has been called to be an ambassador for Christ, to spread the good report about Jesus wherever we go. So we have to ask ourselves, what report are we bringing? Are we even bringing a report about God? Something we need to think about. And have we prepared ourselves to do that? Have we thought about that? Do we have a story to tell? You do. If you're saved, you got a story to tell. That's one thing I love to ask Christians. What happened when you got saved? Tell me what happened. What changed? What did God do in your life? What has God done in your life? And if they can't say anything, you know what? Maybe we need to just to be safe, let's go back to the beginning here and start again. Maybe we need to ask the Lord to come in and make that big change. Maybe there's somebody here who's never had that fresh start with God. Or you're still wondering, how come nothing ever changed for me? I want to ask the prayer team to come forward right now. Maybe you feel like you haven't been giving a good report. Or maybe you don't feel like you got a report to give. And if you don't, then you need some prayer. So I would encourage you, if you want to be a better reporter, we don't make the news, we report the news. Fair and balanced. Right? The whole gospel, the truth. The truth of salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, of all the good things he's given us. That's the good report we want to bring. So let's go before the Lord now and just ask him. And I encourage you, if, you know, maybe you feel that you've just been inadequate, you feel inadequate, you feel like, I can't do this. You can. Maybe you need a touch. Maybe you need hands laid on you and a little bit of an anointing, a little bit of just a little bit of an extra touch, a little bit of an extra push to be that spokesperson. So let's go before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us, Lord. And Father, I pray that we, as your people, would be faithful in reporting what you have done in our lives, in the lives of our friends and family, that we would report your truth, that we would report the reality of who you are, that we would bring the good report like Joshua and Caleb did, the only two who survived 40 years in the desert, came out on the other side and lived for a long time as great and mighty warriors of our God. Lord, I pray that we would have a church filled with Joshuas and Calebs, those who bring a good report and live on to fight the battle and bring victory. God, I thank you for everyone that's here today and hearing this message. Lord, I thank you that you have put it within us. You have given us your Holy Spirit to make every one of us a Joshua, a Caleb, to spread that good news, that good report. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful in fulfilling our job, our call. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.